Y'all hear me? Good, okay. I said, y'all do pray for LaDonna. Her biggest problem is me. Very true. Very true. It is. It didn't say anything, but dude, I have a customer or a friend. He's an account that I have. His wife passed away, and I went to the door after we got done servicing his property, and he said, you got a few minutes, and all I could do is just stand there and talk, and he lost his wife back in Thanksgiving. And he said, all I could do is stand here and squall and just talk. I don't have words. A lot of times people just need somebody to listen to them. I do pray for them. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I'm going to go ahead and close two times. That leaves me three more to go. I promise you, I do not plan in myself to be very, very lengthy tonight. With that being said, you know how us Baptist preachers are. We the linest things around. We'll close four or five times. But tonight, I cannot help you. The Word of God's going to be the help. I do not want to stand in the way of what God can do for someone here tonight. Do not know where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. If it's like mine, you're up and down. Spend more time down than you do up. Sometimes we allow battles to get to us. We allow frustrations to get to us. The life of a child of God, either, and I know y'all have heard this said before, I've heard Josh say it, every preacher I've ever heard, the life of a child of God, you're in a valley or you're not. You're walking through or you're coming out or you're heading into one. But I want you to know tonight that what I want to preach on tonight is we have a faithful God. Can I say He's the only true God? It ain't Buddha. It ain't Muhammad. It ain't none of those created fictions or that the world looks at as being a God. My God's real. And I want to say He'll make Himself known to you. Have you ever been in one of your deepest, darkest battles? And you feel like nobody understands, and you can't sleep at night, and you've gone as far as you can go, you're burdened down, and you get up, and you just open up the pages of the Word of God, or maybe you just kneel down in prayer, or maybe you just sit there and start meditating, and all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, dwelling. You feel the presence of the Almighty amongst you. That has happened to me several times. But I want to be tonight, I want to preach on we have a faithful God that He is faithful in His call. He's faithful in His communion with us. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, I believe it says, when we believe not, God abideth faithful. Yeah. Amen. It ain't got a thing to do with me. It's all Him. He'll show up in the midnight hour. You saw Brother B, you got Bible for that? We'll turn to the book of Acts chapter 16. Showed up in the midnight hour. Get ahead of myself, but He's also faithful, and this is what I really want to deal with tonight on the last part. He's faithful in a crisis. And these people in our church, and Sister Delinda is one of them, that's in a crisis right now. Some of you have lost spouses, and it's been an ongoing crisis, so to speak. The gentleman that I was talking to today, his name is Don Thornberry. He said, I never knew what loneliness was. He said, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Should I leave out of here, Brother Billy, you never see me again? And we'll meet each other in heaven. But on the physical realm, I've never known what loneliness was until I want to go hug my wife and she ain't there. I want to hug your husband and he ain't there. You just want to sit down and talk or whatever. And go get a bite to eat or fix the bologna sandwich for each other or whatever. But when that fellowship is not there, he said, I've never knew what loneliness was until now. He said, I just want you to listen. Well, that's all I could do, Brother Billy, sit there and just listen. That's all I could do. That's all I could do. But I want to tell you tonight, if you got your Bibles turned to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read the first 11, 12 verses. Here in each one of these first verses, Jesus Christ is mentioned in every verse. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the Corinthians. Can I say today, and this probably be the only hard thing I'll say about preaching, preaching against sin, where Corinthians was, Corinth, it was the modern day Las Vegas, so to speak. Exactly what it was. And so we know the book of Corinthians, Paul was writing to them, correcting them and admonishing them and being a help to them. But anyway, it says here in verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, in that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I won't read no further, but you can go on and read the rest of the chapter. And that word call is in there. I want to say God's faithful in His call. Tonight, I want to tell you, I know y'all have heard this before, but I believe with all my heart His call and His faithfulness call to salvation, Brother Josh. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind. With the technology that we have today, it's amazing to me the means, the way we get the gospel out to the foreign countries. No telling how many foreign souls are watching Gateway Baptist Church and other churches where the gospel's being preached. The virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection is being preached. That's the gospel. That's the good news, amen. That's the only thing, that's the only hope that this world has is the gospel, amen. It's being going out. And we need men of God that's going to preach it, amen, with love and boldness. But He's faithful to the call of salvation. I will spend just a few minutes on this here. Sister Eva, you remember when Jim and Denson used to come get us and take us to church on the back of a mule's wagon at Cali Harbor Baptist Church? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? He'd do that from time to time. And then we'd ride the church bus at White Oak. Sandra White and I think Sammy Cole might have been the bus driver. But Sandra White was the bus captain. And I've heard the gospel preached there. I think Jerry Godfrey and Ollie Matthews and them were over the children's church at White Oak. I heard Charles Williams and Earl Partain preach the gospel. But Brother Josh, it didn't get real to me to that night. On that Friday night when I was getting ready to go coon hunting with your granddaddy, my uncle and cousin, and your cousin, I believe it is, and we're getting ready to go coon hunting, and I'd stop to visit my girlfriend right there on Ridge Road, two houses up from mine, and they begin to witness to me, and the Holy Ghost got real in my heart that night, and for the first time in my life as a 16-year-old boy, I realized I needed something that I couldn't get on my own. That call goes out. And I want to say this, and I say this as humbly as I can. I don't know if I'm on being videoed tonight or not. If you've never had the call of the Holy Ghost in your life to convict you of your sins, you've never been saved. Told a lady at home when I worked there, she said, "Oh, I've always loved Jesus. I've always been in church." I said, "That's a lie of the devil. You don't know what love is until you meet Him." Bible says, "For God is love." But for the first time, Sister Lynn, I realized I needed something. I realized all of the stuff I could do, I couldn't fill that void. But that May the 19th, 1985, that Sunday morning, I got up, I went out and I washed my car, and I went back in, I took me a shower, I put me on some good church clothes or what I thought was, and I made my way to church. I got to say it, he's faithful to the call. If I'd have died in a car wreck on my way to church, Brother Billy, I'd have split hell wide open under the grace of God, under the convicting grace of God, under the power of God. But the beauty of God's grace is this, Brother John, he let me hear another message get preached, amen. He let another man of God get up and preach flesh and bone, or flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Abram sitting about over yonder where Brother Jack and Sister Esther sitting in that church, Johnny Turner would preach over here, but it felt like the Holy Ghost had that finger right in my heart. And when he got up to give the invitation, all I knew, I had to do something, amen. It felt like that was the very last time God was ever going to deal with me. It might not have been. He might have extended his hand of grace, his loving grace, another day, another time. But it felt like that morning was the last time I was ever going to feel his presence. And I believe I was saved before I ever got to the altar. I believe I was saved before I ever took that first step. I believe my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before I ever prayed the first prayer. I believed in my heart he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do. Amen. He's faithful to the call of salvation. For God, it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Going through the book of Acts in Sunday school, and we'll finish up chapter 4 this weekend, hopefully. I say hopefully, not trying to rush the Word of God, but you don't want to bore people. You don't want to take too long on things. But if there's any other disciples that I can identify with, I can identify with Peter. I act before I think. Don't hang me out to dry. I do before I think. We all do in some form or fashion. But ain't it amazing that God used Peter to preach in 3,000 and then 5,000? He's faithful to his call of service as well. And I heard Brother Josh say this, and I've said it before, and I'm sure y'all heard other preachers say this. When God calls you, he will equip you. We got to learn and we got to grow. We got to grow in God's grace. I've been in business 13 years, and I know I still got a lot to learn. I don't ever want to get where I think I know it all. I've done been there, and I realized I didn't know it all. But he's faithful to his call. Not only is he faithful in his communion. Read right here in verse, I believe it's verse, let me read verse, is it verse 8? Who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful in his communion. Brother Josh preached on Joseph a few weeks back. Well, I'd say everything that Joseph went through, God was with him. Joshua, after Moses had died in chapter, is it 32 in the book of Deuteronomy, then Joshua comes along, and in the first verse, Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died, and Joshua steps up, verse 8 of verse 9, and the Lord tells Joshua, be not afraid, I am with you. I think that's worded in there. And then you get in there to chapter 3, chapter 4. He's out there all by himself. He's fixing to march around the walls of Jericho. Now, Brother Josh, I grew up, I'm a redneck. I didn't run from too many fights. My idea of fighting, let's go, buddy. Let's put them up. Let's get at it. Or let's get the 9mm, 45, let's get the AR, whatever you want to do. But that ain't God's way of thinking. He wanted to march around the walls. Then blow your trumpet. That ain't my way of thinking. I could imagine Josh was out there all by himself, and he sees somebody standing there, and he goes up and asks him, are you for us or are you against us? And God had to confirm him. He said, I'm the captain of the host. He's faithful in his fellowship. How about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He's faithful in their communion too, for our God is able. Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow down and worship that golden image. Made him mad, heated the fire 7 times hotter, and I don't think Jesus Christ was the fourth one. I think he was the first one in there. I'd be down there cheering, agging them on, Brother John. He's down there, and they get down there, and buddy, they had a wonderful time, and not when you come out and into that chapter, the very next chapter, chapter 4, not a hair of their head was singed. Amen. And it had the smell of smoke on them. He's faithful in his fellowship. I'm sitting there looking at some, or standing here looking at some of y'all. When's the last time you fellowshipped with the Lord? I challenged a Sunday school class, and I challenged Seven Life. Ask Molly and them if I hadn't asked. I said, you've picked you 5 minutes somewhere, and you get alone with God. And I'm going to tell you what I heard Jeff Bird say. If you don't know what to pray, just guess at it. God take care of that. Now I guarantee you it'll grow. God's faithful in his fellowship. How about Daniel in the den of lions? Not a lion's den, but a den of lions. Two different. They're different. He's faithful in his fellowship. But I want to deal thirdly tonight in a crisis. We all have had crises in our life. We've all had hardships. We've all gone. It's the life of a child of God. We're going. I don't read nowhere in that Bible that's sitting in your lap, Sister Lynn, where God says it's going to be a bed of roses. But I do know I can show you, and I'm sure you can tell me, He'll be with you. He can sustain us. Josh said this, and I never, when we left New Etna and resigned there, come over here at first Sunday morning, and Brother Josh come right straight to me out there and said, Brother Bill, I need you to teach Sunday school for me next Sunday morning. And I said, I'd be glad to. Brother Josh, would you believe I took some heat for that? Somebody called me and asked to come preach for them. I said, well, I'd be glad to, but I'm obligated to teach Sunday school at Gateway Baptist Church next Sunday morning. What do you mean, teach? You're called to preach. I said, I'm apt to do both. He asked me before you did. So that's where I'm going. Crisis. When you got your closest friends that'll look at you and you don't understand. You don't know why they make fun of you. You don't know why they, you sometimes you don't, you want to say even in our marriages, we go through times where you just don't get along as well as you do as others. Joe Arthur said this, how's a man going to be married to a woman and a woman going to be married to a man and them have kids and not have a headache? Lord, that quiet. I mean, I'd love to stand there and tell you tonight that my and LaDonna's marriage is being, I mean, buddy, I've enjoyed it. I love it. I love being married to her. She's my best friend. But these times, I'm a thorn in her side. I'm waiting you say amen on that. I'm just being honest with you. If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to face some crisis. I forget who I was talking to. It might have been Sister Lynn, someone else. I believe with all my heart, and I've seen it through you, you're preaching, you have fought the devil in this pulpit. I believe with all my heart when a man of God stands to preach, or a man of God stands to teach, or even these ladies that teach you Sunday school classes, I believe you're never more hindered by Satan and his demons than you are when you stand, because you're teaching something that's going to change somebody's eternity. It goes beyond what job occupation you're going to get. It goes beyond what dollar an hour you're going to get. Hey, you're changing somebody's life. And I believe that's when you're hindered more right then, when you go to preach the gospel. Something's going to change a crisis. Reading in the Fox's Book of Martyrs where several men and women were killed for standing for the gospel. Going through the whole story, you know the story of William Tyndale? How the Catholic Church, yes I said it, the Catholic, the Roman Catholics, chased him all over till they got him and burned him at the stake because he had a copy. The Word of God. But God was faithful to him. How about John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos? He was out there for what? The testimony of the Lord. That's why he was out there. That's why he was there. And God snuck up on him on his backside. said, John, write down things that you're going to see and going to hear. And there's things going on in heaven right now that one day we're going to partake in. I'm just saying God's faithful in a crisis. Apostle Paul. Brother Josh, has it ever happened to you and you other preachers in here? Has it ever happened to y'all, Brother Brandon? You stand the teach, you studied, you got, and it never comes out the way you write it down. How about the Apostle Paul? How many times he shipwrecked? How many times was he beat with a cat or flogged, I believe it was, whipped? In a crisis. One of my favorite stories to preach. When I quoted that verse a while ago in 2 Timothy 2:13, when we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. It was a time right there in Acts 27 where Paul felt they were going to die. You should not take this voyage. It's going to be much damage of the lading of the ship and our lives also. And then, I think it's verse 16, verse 17, he gets down there on the bottom of the prisoner ship amongst everybody else, Brother Billy. I mean, with everybody else. I don't know what all was going on down there. I don't know why I wasn't there, but I know the same God that he knowed. And he's down there, and he rose up when he abstinence, and he said, "For there stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not." Hallelujah. I say to you, he's faithful in the crisis. Amen. But Paul was on a mission. God done told him, you're going to stand over yonder. You're going over yonder. When you got saved, from on the road to hell, going on the road to heaven. And while we on this road, we're going to face battles. I have seen what time I've pastored Sister Tara, I've seen God is faithful when parents have to bury their youngins. I've seen God is faithful when youngins have to bury their parents. I've seen when God is faithful when God's had to bury, when the wives have buried their husbands and the husbands have buried their wives. I've seen when God is faithful. He's faithful, amen. In a crisis. Soon be 5-6 years ago, we're sitting in that doctor's office. And I believe, God, you've heard me say this. Other preachers, y'all take listen to what I'm fixing to say. Teachers, I believe pulpit manners is as important as it is to doctors having bedside manners. I believe we need to preach it bold. I believe we need to teach it bold, but we ain't got to be hateful about it. I believe we should preach against sin, and I want to go ahead and reckon and say you can't live any way you want to and be right with God. If you can go anywhere you want to go, but you can't go to the house of God, I believe you ain't right with the Lord. I got customers that have told me that I ain't got to go to church to be right with God. I said, "Well, do you study the Bible?" "I sure do." Well, what about Hebrews over there? Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. How about all the Old Testament where they were told together? Call the convocation together. Call the elders together. Call them all together. It shows how much you have not studied the Word of God. And when we choose to walk away, then we're on a crisis. The prodigal son. Now he brought that on himself, but yet God was faithful when he came back home. But the Apostle Paul's on that ship said, "Fear not, for there stood by me this night things called whom I am, whom I serve." So there's a time he didn't believe. There's a time. Sister Steve, I know this is going to come as a surprise to you. And I appreciate what Brother David said the other night. I heard what he said the other night. I don't know my own David. I know Brother Billy's. Got sidetracked. We're sitting in that doctor's office. That doctor looked at us and said, "You had stage 4 cancer. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and help you get your FBLA. Go ahead and call your principal, whoever you got in touch with. You're going to be out of work for the rest of the year and maybe all of next year." And so we're going to give you 32 rounds of radiation and I think 16 rounds of chemo, whichever one it was. It might have been vice versa. And he said, "You got 5-6 months to live." Brother, I ain't going to lie. I got mad. It wasn't to what he had said. It was how he said it, just so nonchalant. I'm sitting there, and we in revival. Cody Wheeler's preaching revival for us. I go to get up, and Donna goes, "Easy, easy." Don't you look at me. You've been married. I don't care who you are. I'm saying you've got a breaking point no matter who you are. You ain't beyond getting mad. Bible says, be ye angry. I got that down pat. But sin, it's the sin and not I struggle with. Be ye angry and sin not. Amen. I got that, buddy. If there's anything I've nailed down, I've got that nailed down pretty good. We go out to the parking lot, we sitting there and we squalling. I look at her, if you ain't got 4 months to live, 5 months to live, what's wrong with a second opinion? Then we get down there to the cancer. It was just the hand of God working in it, is all it was. The hand of God in it. But I seen Brother Billy, and we go to church that night. There's only one person that knew that we shared what was going on with him. We didn't want the church to worry. We told the deacon of the church, let him know that. We get there, he met us at the car. And we told him what it's just like that whole church just took and wrapped their arms around us. Cody had no idea. Pleasant Hill was preaching, coming to their choir to sing that night. They had no idea. And it's just like Brother Josh, that whole service, God was just going. Now I want to go ahead and say, I thank God for it. We weren't worthy of it. Because someone's lost loved ones in here. Friends. Sister in Christ. Your daughter. And I get to heaven, I'm going to thank her for being a friend to me. I am. I get to heaven, I'm going to thank Brother Jimmy and Sister Kate for being a friend and loving me. Ted, too. Old Frog. Tell him that, too. And many others in here. I was watching Brother Josh that Sunday. We were in the mountains and that Sunday night, and Josh talking about Brother Greg. And Greg says, and Josh goes, well, may I? And Greg looks over there and says, well, looky here. Got that arm, boy, and I get to heaven. I'm going to pour. Thank you for being a friend to me, Brother Greg. Talk about a time of crisis. God's faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Apostle Paul knows he's fixing to die. He's in prison. He knows it. He knows his time is about the end. He knows, Brother Josh. I mean, buddy, let me flip over. I don't want to quote it and mess it up. I want to read it. Let me find it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is my last thing here. He's faithful in his cause, faithful in his community, he's faithful in his crisis. And it's just like the Apostle Paul, the man of God, in his dying days, and he knows his days are numbered. Listen to what he says here to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If you reprove and you rebuke and exhort, you better do it with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up a crown for righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. I want to say he's faithful in his crisis, and he will give you assurance. Now, I know when I leave this body die, it's going to die. We leave here by the way of rapture. This body is going to die. It's going to go back to the dust of the earth. It's what's going to happen. It's going to go. I die of a massive heart attack, or I get bit by a copperhead, rattlesnake, or whatever you want to call them, or I'm doing a job and a tree limb falls on me. I was doing a job the other day, Brother Billy, and I just had got out from under a tree and picking up limbs for a customer of mine, and there was a tree limb that fell, Brother Josh. That joker was that big around, and it was about as far from me to that door right yonder. If it had landed on me, it would have killed me, and I was from here to Brother Walter from it when it hit the ground. I just turned and said, whew. Lord, I know I just talked to you on the way over here, but I know you want me to come that quick. I thought, my buddy, God is faithful. He's faithful. Paul knew he was fixing to go. And there he is, encouraging Timothy. Are y'all familiar, and I'm closing on this right here, are y'all familiar with that song, There Is a Fountain? This has just come to my mind, and Heath Williams preached a good message about not being prepared. We need to be prepared when we stand to teach and preach or sing. We need to be prepared when we stand to minister. We need to. Now, last week I didn't, and I apologize to the church and I apologize to Seven Life. I did not manage my time that well. I could have went through 1 Samuel chapter 11 and wung it. And wung ain't a word, is it? Winged it. Wung it. Hey, put that on there. Tell Chris Smith I said wung it. He'll like that. But I didn't want to do the Word of God no dishonor, so I backed off and said, this is what I want y'all to do. I didn't want to wing it. I wanted to, more to be prepared. But anyway, for whatever reason, the writer of, I think it's page 379, and I'm fixing to close. Brother Billy, get you a song ready. We'll give an invitation. I want to read this right here. The writer of this song was, for whatever reason, was put in an insane asylum. I don't remember exactly how long he was in there. But the devil will monkey with your mind. If he can get you distracted, he will. He'll do that. And I believe that's what he had done to the writer here. And I want to read the last verse. It said, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Lies silent in the grave. Lies silent in the grave. While he was in there, before he went in, Brother John, he had clear speech. But for whatever reason, he developed a lisp. And that is when he had pinned down the words of this song right here. There is a fountain. In a time of crisis, and the writer of this song, and he's in that same asylum, God showed up with him in that room or wherever he was at and fellowship with him. God is faithful in His call. He's faithful in His communion. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful in a crisis. Told my mama Sunday. So mom said, you ain't getting no younger. So we should think about coming to church with us again. That's all I said. You can't force it on them. Can't make them. But you can pray for them. Had to tell family on both sides. Should you pass away lost without accepting Christ as your Savior? I'll be honored to do whatever you ask me to do. I'll try my best to sing a song. I'll read a song to you. I'll quote a poem. But I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what I'm called to do. But if you die lost, don't expect me to get in that pulpit and say you're better off. If you die sitting in here tonight, and you know without a shadow of a doubt you need Jesus as your Savior, the worst crisis you can ever go through is dying lost. That's it. You've gone as far as you can go. It matters not what your last name is. It matters not how many nickels you got or don't got in the bank. It matters not what your circle is, who you run or who you don't run with. What matters is you must be born again. And if you die lost without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be as the rich man and lift your eyes in hell. I know that ain't popular, but Brother Josh, that's the Word of God. I'm not trying to do what he don't do. He does a great job of it. Me as a preacher, lay preacher here, I'm an extension of his hands. And brother, I'm saying this here. If I ever say or do something to get out of line, feel free to tell me. I want to get it right. And I'm telling you tonight, if you die lost, that's the worst crisis you can ever go through. It ain't losing money in your 401k. It ain't losing your job. It ain't your dog biting you and running away from you. We got a chicken now. I think she's part rooster. And when you go out, they'll follow you like pets. I go to put them up, and if you ain't got nothing to give them, Brother Bray, you know what that joker do? He'll run up and jump in there. She, he, what I think it's one of both. It's one of the, trying to flog you. I said, you fixing to go to chicken heaven or chicken hell? You flog me again, dog, chicken. Yeah, big another grave, yeah. With all that, saying this here, if you die lost, you're sitting here tonight. I do, as I said a while ago, Brother Jack, I don't know what spiritual state you're in. I don't know what battle you're fighting. I don't know what it is you're going through. But I do know this, if you're sitting here tonight, ain't no way if you are here, if you're lost, come on, Brother Billy, if you're lost, I beg you with all the heart I have, don't walk out these doors. Don't walk out these doors lost. Because if you do, you're headed for the worst crisis you'll ever be in. And if you walk out these doors and you go out through them out yonder, and you still breathing, God's given you the opportunity to come back in. I've heard stories, Brother Josh, where preachers have preached the gospel and they're talking about that call, and they'll be sitting there, they've been church members their whole life, but they never realized about that call they had in their life. And the Holy Ghost began to deal with them, and they come back in. I think Ricky Gravely had give a testimony of that, where he is preaching in a church and talking about salvation. And there's a lady in the church that had been a member of that church her whole life. I think she's in her mid-60s, I think, what her age was, and she come back and begin to talk to the teacher, and she realized that she never had the call of God in her life, and she realized she is lost, and she got saved that night. Don't walk out lost. Go ahead, Brother Billy. Go ahead.
Page 165.
Y'all please stand.
Please stand. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Listen to His voice, leave with Him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care, kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only in His love. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there.
Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Appreciate you being here tonight. If you need to know more about salvation, I sure wish you'd get in touch with me before you leave here. Of course, it don't end here. You can call me or Brother Billy. We'll be glad to help you and point you to Calvary. Amen. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go our separate ways. Brother Brad, why don't you pray for us, please, sir?